Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Let's walk aboard right now. Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV contributor as well. Hey, Brian, Taz and Moose with you. Thanks for popping on this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
All right.
Doing well, Brian. You know, we talked a lot about the Lakers this morning. You know, encapsulated the mess, Magic airing the dirty laundry, you know, Pelinka answering the questions, everything for the Laker fan right now that is in a pseudo-depression. What do you make of that entire Laker mess right now?
Well, listen, obviously, they made Magic Johnson angry enough. And I don't just mean that, Pelinka. I mean, they made Magic Johnson angry enough that he wants to make sure that he pulls the veil back on all of this dysfunction. Magic has made no bones about the fact that when he took this job, he was told he had full autonomy. Well, he really didn't have full autonomy, and Jeannie Buss has her whole little crack committee there of basketball experts, and some are basketball experts and some aren't, and she wants to get a consensus on pretty much every move that she makes. And listen, I don't know that you can run. I mean, Magic made a very good point. You can't run a corporation this way. And this isn't a mom-and-pop shop. This is a billion-dollar business. And it's very hard to understand what Jeannie's after here. She's kind of trying to please a whole lot of people. And the reality is that, you know, she's continuing to make mistake after mistake after mistake. Get somebody that knows how to run a basketball organization, put them in charge, forget about who's a member of the Laker family, and then just let that happen and let them do their job. But that's not happening here, and this is filled with dysfunction. And quite frankly, it's a glory franchise. It's also a really toxic franchise, and I don't know that they're going to be able to do what they plan on doing in free agency. There's some major players that may not even give them meetings. And when you think about the fact that they have a max slot and LeBron James and all these assets on their team, and a guy could walk in, they're a big-time player, and that could be a great situation from moment one. That's not going to happen. Even the coaching search was, I mean, you short-arm Ty Lue, of all people, to short-arm. Then you go and you set up appointments with Bickerstaff, Vogel, Lionel Hollins, and Mike Woodson. And after the second interview with that process, you just hire a guy and don't even talk to the other two guys. They do things so different than everybody else. And there's a reason they don't have a basketball person in charge of what's going on. Because Rob Pelinka's in that GM role. He's not in charge of any of it.
Hey, Brian, a moment ago you mentioned about free agency, right, with the Lakers. So you think Magic is trying to – you think he was trying to poison the free agency for the Lakers moving forward, being what he said yesterday on ESPN?
I don't think he was trying to do that. What I think he was trying to do was save face himself. I think what he wants to do reputationally right now in the NBA world is remove himself from this toxic mess.
Right.
You know, and I think that was what he was after yesterday. I mean, listen, I don't think he's very happy with Rob Pelinka. They had an arrangement when they started that Rob would essentially be the boots on the ground in L.A., and Magic was still going to be able to do his speaking engagements, run his other businesses, and be the ultimate decision maker for the Lakers. Well, listen, Pelinka does not have a good reputation in NBA circles. He's a guy that people generally will talk about as if, you know, he's going to he'll essentially say what the person in front of him wants to hear, regardless of if it's true or not. That's the reputation Pelinka has. And Magic
that's
has
not
a
good
lot
reputation
of
to have.
No, it's a very bad one. It's a very
it's
bad one.
Horrible.
And the truth of the matter is Magic Johnson's got a lot of friends in the NBA, a lot of people that are loyal to him. Magic has, you know, been around a long time, and Magic is an affable, lovable kind of guy and very successful in business. And so when Magic gets these people coming back to him and Pelinka's trying to backstab him with ownership in an organization, he he's been woven into the fabric of, you know, listen, don't mess with Magic. As you know, he's magical smile, but he's a tough guy. And in this particular scenario, Rob Pelinka kind of threw darts at him, and Magic is letting him have it and letting him have it pretty good. So, yeah, I don't think Magic wanted to poison things as much as this was about Magic Johnson making it clear, I have nothing to do with this mess going forward.
Do you think, do you think LeBron was locked into the Magic decision before Magic made it public? And do you think LeBron's got a lot of regret being a Laker?
I think LeBron had no clue Magic was going to do that. I mean, we heard LeBron talk about it on his show, The Shop, a few weeks back.
Right, you're buying that? You're buying that.
Oh, 100% I'm buying it.
I don't buy that. I don't buy it.
I buy it 100%. All right. LeBron had no idea this was coming. He understands something about LeBron James. He has so much going on. He doesn't want to be involved with running the franchise. He doesn't want to be involved with pulling the strings. He went there, and when he wanted to be involved in Cleveland and wanted to be consulted and wanted to have input, what did he do? He signed one-year deals so he could hold it over your head if you didn't do what he wanted you to do. He didn't do that here. He went and signed a four-year deal. This is the swan song of his career. He expected other people to run it, and he had his faith in Magic Johnson. You know what? Let Magic do what Magic does, and I'm going to go do what I have to do. Now he's watching from afar as they totally butcher this situation. And I will tell you this, it wouldn't shock me one iota at one point or another this summer if LeBron lets them know, you know what, here are a couple places I would go if you could get me out of here. I truly believe that that could possibly be on his radar. For all I know, the Clippers could be one of them. You know what I mean? LeBron doesn't want anything to do with this level of dysfunction. He wants to work out, get healthy, and be playing basketball this time next year on national TV, on an NBA floor, deep into the playoffs. That's what LeBron is worried about at this point. I don't think he knew about it with Magic. I think he's appalled what's happening with the Lakers, and he's another one. There's a reason he's not. You're not seeing him front rowing any of this stuff. He doesn't want to be involved with this dysfunction.
You're listening to Tats and the Moose here on this Tuesday morning. We're talking to Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV, Hoops Critic. As we transition a little bit away from Lakerland here, Brian, what the Warriors have accomplished here. Cousins out, Durant out, Iguodala out. They come back three straight games on Portland, double digits down. I mean, the brilliance of Curry, the brilliance of Draymond Green going to five straight NBA finals. Encapsulate, Taz and I have talked about all morning long. I mean, it's really spectacular, the show they're putting on. What about what Golden State's been able to accomplish with all the guys out?
Well, it's when we look big picture-wise over a five-year period, it's absolutely amazing. And this year represents its own chapter. Just because, and listen, I'm not making the biggest deal out of Cousins being out. Cousins was going to help them in one matchup, and that was against Houston. And in the end, they didn't need him. So that's not a big deal. So the best player in the game not being with your team, it's always a big deal. I'm not buying this. They're better without Durant. They may look a little more connected without Durant. But, you know, they're still a great team in his absence. And I think, you know, what we've seen here is how much guys like Curry and Draymond, to a lesser extent, even Klay Thompson, they didn't play well last night, but played great defensively, didn't shoot it well last night, how much these guys subjugate so much of their games to benefit and have the best player in the game on the floor and Kevin Durant and let him do his thing. And we got reminded of that over the course of this series. Steph Curry had an incredible, incredible series. And really, if they win it all this year, it should be, you know, find a way towards a finals MVP here that he's never gotten and really deserved back in 2015. It's been incredible. But I'm also going to say this because I don't want to pour cold water on anything the Warriors have accomplished here. It's absolutely been amazing. But I will say this, the vaunted Western Conference that everybody talks about is such a wonderful conference is kind of a paper tiger, guys. It's very light at the top. It's one team at the top in Golden State. Houston proved to be worse than they were last year. Listen, all due respect to Portland, did a fantastic job getting to where they had to get without their best defensive player in Jusuf Nurkić. They're not a team that's a Western Conference Finals caliber team. They're just not that good. And you look up and down the Western Conference, that there's a lot of teams that are just not that good. They're good teams. They're not great teams. To me, the second-best team through the fifth-best team in the NBA all resided in the Eastern Conference this year. So, yes, the Warriors done amazing. Five straight finals. We don't pour cold water on it. We don't sneeze at it. But I also think we have to be realistic about what the West was this year, not the great conference it had been in years past.
Hey, Brian, let me ask you, are you concerned a little bit for Golden State? 9 days off now. You know, I mean, they got kind of have great momentum going. No, they got some time now maybe to get Durant back, but they got 9 days, man. That's a lot of downtime. Are you concerned for them to kind of lose that mojo and that momentum they got?
Maybe a little, Taz. I'll say this, but I think that that is counteracted by the fact that you have a chance to get Durant back on the floor and get Andre Iguodala healthy.
Right.
They need Andre Iguodala in a big way. Listen, Alphonso McKinney played great last night. He played great against Portland. All right. And I don't mean to disrespect the Blazers. They accomplished a lot in the face of a lot of adversity. They're not the Milwaukee Bucks. And they're not even the Toronto Raptors. Like, you did it here and you're able to do it without these guys against this team. You're not going to be able to do it against what the best that the Eastern Conference has to offer, which to me is most likely going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. You're going to need every bit of Durant, every bit of Iguodala out there. So, yes, I hear you. You get stale a little bit with 9 days off. But I also, you know, this is a team that had gotten bored of the regular season at times. There's mental and emotional fatigue in playing into five straight NBA finals. 9 days off, actually, I think between the injuries and between just, you know, think about how many extra games over the course of the last 4 years and now a fifth year, the Golden State Warriors have played. It's more than an extra full season. That's how many extra games they've played. To get 9 days off before they pin their ears back and go on one last run to see if they can win their third straight, I'm finding more positives in that than negatives, Taz.
Brian, let's one more before we move east quickly here. Everyone seems like it's a foregone conclusion. From what you understand, you think it's a foregone conclusion Durant's leaving come July?
Yes, I do. I think that even with what you've seen this week where people on Instagram talking about they're better without Durant and he's snapping back at people, it's, you know, Kevin Durant is a unique kind of guy. And I think he's very, you know, he's hung up with his legacy. And I don't blame him. When you're as good as he is at this game, there's nothing wrong with being hung up with your legacy. I think he wants to be looked at as a top 10 player all time by the time all things are all said and done. And I don't think he believes that's going to happen in Golden State. Imagine this, guys. You're the best player in the sport. I think he has been for a couple of years now. But you're the best player in the sport, and you're not necessarily looked at as the most important player on your team. And I think for Kevin Durant, that's very hard to swallow. He went out to Golden State because he wanted to win and wanted to be part of something bigger. And I respect him for that. And I thought, you know, I know a lot of people didn't respect him for that. I respect him for that. But I also think that whole being part of something bigger in terms of his legacy has outlived its usefulness. I'm not convinced he's running to New York, even though that's the big rumbling. But I do think we're going to see him leave there. I think if it's not the Knicks, I think keep a close eye on the Los Angeles Clippers.
All right, Brian, let's move east here. Toronto, Milwaukee. It's been, thank God for the Raptors winning game three and giving us a little bit of a series here. Do you think what Toronto did in game three, they can replicate that? They can get this series evened up, heading back to Milwaukee for a game five?
Mark, they're asking an awful lot out of Kawhi Leonard here. They really are. I mean, it's the comparison I made, and after watching game three, I think this comparison is even more relevant. This is like LeBron the last 2 years in Cleveland. Everything that they need done that's important on a basketball court, the best guy to do it for them is Kawhi Leonard, and no one else is even coming close. So your best Antetokounmpo defender, Kawhi Leonard. The guy that really has to initiate your offense, Kawhi Leonard. The guy that you want to run plays for off the ball, Kawhi Leonard. The guy that you want to isolate, Kawhi Leonard. Probably your best rebounder, Kawhi Leonard. So you're asking him to do everything. He played 52 minutes, and he played, and he obviously, we saw it in terms of him wincing and limping a little bit. You know, he's having some issues with the quad, and that quad was the problem when he missed most of the year last year with San Antonio. Kawhi's going to gut this out. This is the time of year. This is why you rest 20 games during the regular season for load management, to be able to run these kinds of minutes. By the same token, 52 minutes out of a possible 55, and I get it. Their season was on the line. But you look at that and you wonder, are the Raptors doing themselves any favors in keeping him in the offseason? Because you're really running him hard here and not showing a heck of a lot of regard for his health in terms of doing that. With that said, look at what happened in that game. It went to double overtime. Giannis had 12 points, fouled out early in the second overtime, and was 5 of 16 shooting. Middleton was 3 of 16. Bledsoe was 3 of 16. and you snuck by the skin of your teeth. Mirotić, 3 of 11. Their starting lineup played terrible. Their starting lineup's not going to play that bad again. And you want to tell me, well, Hill won't get 24, Brogdon won't get 20? Why not? Mm. Those guys are playing great. So I, to me, Milwaukee played probably one of the worst games they've played in the playoffs, and it still took Toronto in their own building double overtime to be able to beat them. I picked Milwaukee in 5 beginning of the series. I think we're actually going to see a double-digit win by Milwaukee tonight. I think this thing is going to end pretty soon.
Brian, let me ask you, as far as the Greek Freak there with Giannis, man, you think he needs a signature moment in these playoffs? I mean, you just laid it out, and I was saying the other day, Moose and I were talking about it. To your point, he didn't play great in that last game. He played actually pretty bad. You think Giannis needs like a real signature moment in these playoffs?
I don't, Taz, okay. And I'll tell you why. Because I think with how this team is constructed, getting to the finals would be a signature moment for him. Mm. We are in an era of NBA basketball where every team's got multiple stars on it, right? That's the thing. If you want to be successful, go to a final, you need 2, maybe 3 stars. Listen, there's teams with multiple stars that can't get out of the first round, a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. So this is a team that's been put together a la the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. One major superstar and a bunch of different really good role-playing parts that function around that superstar very well. And that's not always going to lend itself to Giannis coming out and getting 40. That's not necessarily the kind of player he is. The ball's in his hands a lot. He's a really good passer. He's got terrific shooters around him. And they kind of play as a function of him. So I don't know that he needs that, you know, that crazy stat line or that game-winning shot or that huge moment to validate what they're doing here, because ultimately when they get to where they want to get to, it's going to be because of Giannis. And keep one thing in mind, guys, and this is important. You know, listen, he did not play well offensively. He was 5 of 16 shooting. He only had 12 points. He had 8 turnovers. Okay, so think about that. He had 3 more turnovers than he did made baskets. He went 2 of 7 from the free throw line. The dude also had 23 rebounds and 4 block shots. My point is this. Just because he didn't play very well offensively doesn't mean he wasn't a huge factor in the game on the defensive end of the floor. So this is all in Milwaukee. It's a great situation. The chemistry is wonderful. And it all orbits around Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so I don't think that signature moment has to be there. And I will tell you this. If the Golden State Warriors want to beat the Milwaukee Bucks in an NBA final, they are going to need a healthy Kevin Durant to do it.
Brian Gildsaler, HoopsCritic.com, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV. You're great, Brian. We appreciate the time this morning, all right? We'll chat again soon.
I look forward to it, guys. Always my pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.